Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for ground cloth stabbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're stabbing definitely.
Yeah, it's a stabbing week, I can tell. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we're recording this on Monday morning. Yeah, Monday morning, 9:30. And we're going to pretend like it's a Wednesday thing. So, but the schedule's tight on all ends this week, so off we go. So tonight, Wednesday night, Stitch and Chat. I have a seed for a guest, but I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off. But either way, we always have fun stitching and chatting. Don't know if Jennifer will be able to join us because she's with her mother, with Jennifer's mom. That was so much fun last Wednesday.
It was. That was so much fun. She was so enjoyable to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. It was really great. And that Chinese doll?
Yeah. Japanese
doll. Holy smokes, that was mind-blowing. Wow.
I used to have when I was a kid, and an uncle brought it back from Vietnam, but to make your own, you know, you pick it out, you do your sewing, and then they assemble it for you. That would be phenomenal. What a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, that was really, really impressive. Yeah, I mean, literally, I was joking around. All right, that's the show for tonight. But I'm telling you, after seeing that, it's like you're not topping that one. That was that's special stuff. Anybody who missed last week's Wednesday night Stitch Hour, go back and watch that with Jennifer's mom, Sandy. Because it is Sandy, right?
Yes, Sandy.
We start the thing out with a Japanese doll she made when they were stationed over there, and wow,
yeah. fantastic.
Yep. So that was a good one. So tonight we'll be stitching and chatting, and who knows there'll be a little giveaway. We'll just do some things. We never have trouble filling an hour. That's for sure.
No, we can always find something to talk about.
Right.
Stitching.
Right. Yeah. Sunday, Natalia Frank is going to join us. I'm pumped up about this one, even though we haven't recorded it yet. I'm pumped up about it because it's all dollhouse, needlework, and Petty Point. Is that how we're saying it these days, Petty Point?
I think so. That's how I would say it. Yeah, and she does such beautiful, beautiful work. She won one of the awards at EGA National.
Yes.
The year we were there.
Yes.
And they looked at the back.
I know. That's one of the great stories, isn't it? One of the truly great stories. They judged the back. Yeah.
Yes.
Judged the wrong side. Yeah. It was that. It's that good and that clean. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's beautiful. You know, to see it in person is beautiful. And she is she's a member of my guild. She's a very nice lady. So I'm looking forward to chatting with her too and finding some more information about her. So that'll be fun.
Yep. So that'll be Sunday. And coming up, Nancy Lukoski is going to be, we've already recorded it, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, she will be the Sunday guest. And then she is going to join us on Wednesday. And Nancy, we did a show with her 2+ years ago. And her whole deal is basically basket weave, needlework, needlepoint on canvas with wool. But she does church work. And one of her main clients is the National Cathedral. And so she's done and redone all the kneeling pads at the cathedral and done the same kind of work for churches all over the world. And so we talked to her, and then she's going to join us on one of the Wednesdays this month and be able to show us some videos of working on the National Cathedral kneeling pads. And so that's going to be really cool. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. And the work, you know, just seeing her images of her work, I'm looking forward to seeing those videos because I think that'll be so fun, and have her explain what she did and all that.
Yep. Yeah, she's a tremendous talent. So watch for that. And then the 29th at 2 o'clock, May 29 at 2 o'clock, we're going to celebrate our 500th show.
That's amazing. Okay. I mean, I just cannot believe 500 shows.
I know. I was doing my bike ride this morning out in the country, you know, and I started thinking about, all right, I got to start to get some guests together. What's this show going to look like? And so I was mentally just listing who to invite and how to put this together. And then I just kind of stopped at one point mentally and just thought, 500 shows about needlework. Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, and 500 shows, and that doesn't count because I don't keep track of the Stitch Hour shows and then all the other special stuff. So, you know, by the time we get there, if you count all the shows, we're 600 plus.
That's just phenomenal. And you know, you talk to non-needleworkers and they're like, okay. And you tell them, oh, I do a podcast. And they're like, oh, on what? I'm like, needlework. And they're like, you can talk for an hour about needlework. It's like, you have no idea. Yes. More than an hour. That's great.
So
it's going to be fun. And Jennifer's already planned that it's an all day afternoon affair. Who knows what she's got in her mind going on.
Yeah. Jennifer's smoking happy weed. It's not an all day affair, but it'll be long now. So we have, Jessica Grimm is going to show us some medieval, embroidery. And then, Sharon Bruce just this past weekend was at some, you know, one of the castles, museums, whatever, and has a bunch of photos of Mary Queen of Scots stitching.
Oh, fun.
So she was already going to be a guest, but now she's going to show us those photos.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then what, Jennifer's got 2 hours planned. That's the way we're going to do it. All right, Jennifer, it's an all day deal. Yep. What are you going to do?
What do you have planned?
Yep. How many segments are you covering, Jennifer? So 2 o'clock Eastern on the 29th. Join us for that. However long it goes, who knows how long it's going to go. But 500 shows.
Is Debbie Rowley able to join us? Have you?
I have not talked to her, but she's top of the list. Got to get her because she was the first one. She was the first guest.
Wow.
Yep. Way back when, guest number one, and several times since then. But I got to connect with her and get on her schedule. So, yep. Yeah, that was, it was, you know, all right, we're going to do this podcast. Who's going to be our first guest? And it was just an easy call. Let's see if we can get Debbie. And of course she was all about it. So, yep. So I assume we'll have her. Shouldn't assume that. She may have a Sunday afternoon event, but, I need to get in touch with her and get on her schedule. So we'll do that. Yep. So that's, it just kind of hit me on the bike ride. You know, that is just a lot of time talking about needlework of all kinds to people all over the world. And that's, you know, very cool. It's just very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. You know, and then you think you covered it all. And Sunday, we're going to talk about Petty Point and dollhouse stitching. Right. Something we've, in all those shows, that's never come up.
Right.
You know,
and there's always new people to talk to and who have interesting things they're doing with needlework. It's just it's fun. It's fun to listen. It's fun to do.
Yep.
So
put that on your calendar, May 29, 2 o'clock, and we'll have giveaways. 10 $50 gift certificates to Sassy Jack Stitchery. Kim Young providing that, and I will have Kim on the show too. Kim, who has supported this show forever through thick and thin, and just been a loyal supporter of Fiber Talk. We'll have her on the show, and she's providing that kind of gift certificate, $500 worth of gift certificates to give away during the show. That is just fantastic. So
it is. Yeah. That is so nice of her.
But she has. She has been a solid supporter all along, and can't say how much that's appreciated. Not even close. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, there was an email exchange a couple, 3 days ago between you and me and Deb DeCrane.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know that I've felt peer pressure to buy a chart at that level ever.
Well, you know, just wanted to include you in the loop. I didn't want you to feel left out. So that's
Man.
Why I tagged you in there.
I felt like I needed to drive east just to pick it up, just so I would be able to have it.
we're talking about the new Bristol sampler from Sassafras Samplers, Kim's sampler company. Is it Alice Usher? There's a middle name in there.
Yeah.
Alice Ellen Usher. Anyway, and it's beautiful and it's huge. And so, you know, it's just another large project that I thought you would like to have a start along with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will be ordering it because I'm caving to the peer pressure. But that was intense. I was just, whoa, I better buy this chart.
I just didn't want you to feel left out, Gary.
Yeah.
That was the real point.
That's just really special and decent of you. I really appreciate
it. I know. Does it warm your heart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure. And the thing is, on Friday, she had her little live show, Kim did, and she tried to show a Hank of silk called collard greens, which looks like a green, I think it's like a green with gray in it, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought, ooh, I wonder what the Bristol would look like in that color.
Hmm.
I know, you know, just options there, options.
Okay, all right. Now, so, because she's always coming up with these hanks of silk.
Right.
So collard green is, and now green is way down the list on my list of favorite colors. Is that a darker green?
I think so. It looked, she had a hard time showing it, but I know I've seen it.
Okay.
You know, other places. And so I think it's like a more of a foresty green, like collard greens, probably, like what collard greens look
like.
Well,
see, but that, yeah, I'm no help there. I couldn't pick a collard out from a kale.
From a bean top? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a darker, dirtier brown, like I would think, I mean, the brown green, I think it's more like, is what I always, it looks like in my mind and what I see when I think of collard greens and I see the thread. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I see that.
Okay.
And I just thought, you know what, you know, you've got blue covered, you know, I always do red. Maybe I need to do something totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Brown and yellow.
Chocolate, brown and yellow.
Chocolate brown and a nice lemon yellow, I think, is a combination. I bought it for a sampler at one point, but the yellow linen was not yellow enough.
Oh.
But if I could get the right combination of chocolate brown and yellow.
And you know what? I know, and I just came across a little piece in my stash, but I'm sure it's from Witchell, makes a yellow linen.
Yeah.
It's pretty, but the one I had was like 28 count. So it's a really, you know, because this Bristol, of course, needs a half yard. It's not a,
right.
It's not a small sampler. Why start something small when you can start something big?
Not a lap sampler.
No.
More of a queen size bed sampler.
Yes. You know, cover the wall sampler. And that's on 40 count. Or 37 count.
Mm.
I mean, so I don't think, I think you'd have to really do some figuring to do it on a 28 count or whatever. But
yeah,
so I mean, that's, I'm sure it's doable.
Yeah, that's my combination. That's my combination. You know, to get away from the blues. That's a chocolate brown and a nice rich yellow linen.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
Yeah. So this might be that, because, you know, I need to stack up one more thing to
start.
Yeah, because I need to do that as I sit here looking at my stitching table that I am, you know, I haven't really done any stitching to speak of in 2+ weeks, and somehow this table needs to be cleaned. Now, I'm not quite sure how that happened, but I have enough room to record here, so I'm not sure how that happened, but anyway.
I think they multiply when we're not looking.
Jeez.
It's like, you know, you turn your back, and you're like, all of a sudden, all these projects are all surrounding my stitching chair. And I'm like, yep. Okay, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't understand how this happened. Okay, so, because I'm waiting to hear from Kim on a yard of that. What was that blue, that pale blue that you got, linen?
Oh, Cloudburst.
Cloudburst. I got to have a yard of that. That I was intensely jealous of that when you showed that.
Yeah, I know. Linen envy.
Yep.
I'm sure. I mean, it's beautiful. And that's the thing. That hank of blue would look gorgeous on it.
Yep.
Just. Or if you had a gray, a dark gray NPI silk on that one.
Yep. Because, see, I have a blue that she sent me because we were having a conversation one night with her, and she had a blue and a gray, and I had her send me the hank of the blue. But that gray has stuck in my head. And that gray on that cloudburst, is that what it is?
Yes, it's cloudburst. It's legacy linen.
Yeah, that is a combination right there that I'm thinking could work very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, I think so.
All right, so now I'm waiting to hear on that. And then now I suppose I better get the gray. And then I need a yellow. 40, 50 count yellow.
Yeah.
And a chocolate brown. But see, browns are, now I'm no color expert, but for me, browns are tough. Because to get one that looks rich without being dirty and kind of grungy is tough, I think.
And the one I pulled, and I kind of put away, or I'd go grab it, the Soie Surfine has a really pretty brown.
Yeah.
That I'm using on that sycamore seed pod, which is more of a mustard yellow linen.
Right.
But that brown, it's going to pop on there.
Soie Surfine has a brown. All right.
Right.
So you'll send me the number of that brown.
Right. So that way you know. And then at least you can say, well, I want a brown. You can, because you're like me. It's hard to get some of the threads we want. You can always say, this is the brown color I want, or even match it to a DMC.
Yeah.
And see if someone has an NPI silk or a different silk, if that's what you want.
Well, yeah, I want silk. So, okay. Yeah. And that, you know, I can see my DMC thread chart sitting over there, but I have no place to spread it out because there's stuff all over this table. So I will dig that out. But if you could send that number, that would be fantastic. And then I got to find a yellow.
Right.
Because that Bristol sampler in that combination.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. That would be really nice. And there's got to be a yellow linen out there.
Wouldn't you think?
Well, there's sycamore seed pod, but that's more mustard.
There's got to be a rich yellow to it. It can't be that pale, pastel, lame yellow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has to be, it has to be, and not neon yellow, you know, not that, but there's got to be one that's yellow enough that it goes with a nice brown. Because yellow's not a favorite. And mainly for me, because most yellows are just weak.
Right. And if not, they become, like you said, like a lemon yellow. So you want something that's more a brighter mustard color. Not like mustard yellow, but has a little bit more brown undertoning than it is, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what a yellow would be. Because, see, I'm sitting here looking at one of the John James, the cards that hold John James needles.
Yes.
Now, see, that would be a nice yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, so I just did it to myself. So I got to get the thread card out and find the yellow that matches that, the DMC yellow that matches that, and then find the brown and see if this Soie Surfine Because if I'm going to do a Bristol sampler, I want to do it minimum 40 count, maybe 50 or higher.
Right. Because it is going to be so huge. It is a huge sample. But and the other thing I think, and because I think, you know, am I really going to hang, if I ever get this done, will I ever hang it on the wall? And to be honest, I probably wouldn't. But wouldn't that make a fantastic project bag for one of our larger needlepoint projects?
No.
Because then, you know, I don't lug those around. They stay at home. But then they're covered in something pretty, you know.
Right.
You know, the canvases. And I thought, ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
A purpose for my stitching.
Yeah.
Instead of finishing it and, okay, I'm done. Now what?
That's an interesting thing. A cross-stitch project bag for needlepoint.
Well, yeah, sure.
Sure. Why not?
Sure. Why not?
I'm Beth. I'm versatile. Get out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yep. Okay, so Sassafras Sampler, the new Bristol sampler.
Yes.
From Kim.
Right.
So we need to get that, and then I need to get, I got to send her an email then. I got, now see, an order has been built up here.
Yeah, and I you're welcome.
Yeah, that was the next subject, was your enabling skills.
I've had lots of practice.
Yeah, that was the next subject. Because they're problematic. Mm-hmm.
I really try.
Yes.
Yeah. You can ask other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been practicing on them for years.
You are what we call professional.
Professional. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it. So check that out at the Sassafras Samplers, Sassy Jack Stitchery, the new Bristol sampler. She just released that, right? That's just like within last week, right?
Right, actually, and she officially released it on Friday, put it on her website.
Oh, that was, so this past Friday was, during the show, was the big deal then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago on the live show, right?
Yeah. Right, and I think the problem was the printer, and then other issues came up, and so it was like, okay. She was able to get it on the webpage.
And it is,
here's the other thing for people that are international and you don't want to pay all the fees and taxes. She has it as a PDF also, I do believe, or is going to offer it as a PDF, which is great. Or if you do things on your tablet. So again, I like having the paper chart. That's how I am, but there you go.
Yep. And then of course I will bring up, you know, Bristol sampler charts are excellent for building your own designs. Especially on banding, because you can pull motifs off those charts. You know, like the new one from Kim. I don't know how many. There's got to be 75 different motifs on there.
Probably.
I mean, it's just a little catalog of things that you can pull off. And, you know, pull off like to do what I'm doing with the banding. But then the other thing you can do is if you need something to fill on another sampler, say you there's a gap and you'd really like to have something there, Bristol samplers are superb for finding little things that you can just fit in to fill a little space and give it a little, maybe there's a couple of letters in alphabet that end up with a big gap between them just because of the way they're structured. You'd want a little something in there. Go to a Bristol sampler, pull something off, put it in there. Yep.
Right. And I was talking to a friend the other day and we were discussing, you know, making smalls, like especially for retreats. And sometimes, you know, you need something. This is kind of retreat season is going on, people, and they do small exchanges, you know, taking something from a Bristol sampler, you know, to make a border around a needle book or around something, and then maybe sticking another motif in the center. That would work beautifully. You know, perfect.
Yep. And of course, we're talking about this like it's innovative thinking, but that's actually why they did the samplers, was to have a record of how to do these things. So we're actually using them for their intended purpose. But you mentioned borders. You know, I don't like the border on my sampler. Go to a Bristol sampler chart, pull something off there, make it your border. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Handy. You know, they're okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the purpose of samplers when they were first made. to own two or three Bristol samplers just to have as a resource is worth the investment. It really is.
Right. And the other thing is, like, if I want to, you want to put names on things, sometimes you don't want the lettering that's on the chart or whatever.
Yep.
The Bristols are a great way to get different lettering.
Yep.
I mean, 'cause again, the reason why it's there.
Yeah. How many alphabets are on Kim's new one? Jeez, it's ridiculous.
I don't know.
You know, but there it is. There's your resource. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. All right. Sassafras samplers, sassyjackstitchery.com. Go order that thing. And I got to send an email to Kim to, I got to get some stuff now. Peer pressure.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my peer pressure order. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I sure appreciate it. You know, Beth, you know, if you weren't here for me in this, in many ways, I don't know what I'd do.
You'd probably cry. You'd probably cry. That's what I tell my children. You'd miss me, you'd cry. Not. Okay, you asked me what my favorite brand of needle is, and you mentioned that you have, is it John James?
No, it is not. Peacemaker and Tulip are my two favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What do you like about the Peacemaker? I know the Tulip that, you know, but...
I just think because they're extremely well made, they're just really well made, they're smooth, they slide through the fabric, the eyes are well done and smooth, and I've yet to find one that was snag threads. And
right.
And they hold up. They just, you know, they don't deteriorate over time, at least for me. I'm not hard on needles. Some people whose body chemistry makes, you know, needles corrode and stuff, boy, I feel sorry for them. But, hold up. Yeah.
Well, and, okay, so corroding needles, when my son Sam was, had chemo, he wanted to do de-needle work, and he could not keep a needle without it corroding. So we ended up getting him a gold-plated one.
Oh.
And because of the chemo, it was...
All right, so let's explore that. So, okay, I mean, I understand chemo. That's, you know, outside the norm. But mm-hmm. but so it was creating a chemistry in his body oils that was just eating right through the needles, huh?
Right. And it didn't happen all the time, but it happened often enough that, like, he wanted to learn Hardanger. So, and he kept, the needle was getting, like, it was like nasty. I was like, Sam. And he goes, I'm not doing anything. And so we had a friend who had a gold plated needle, and she says, this is just sitting here. He can have it. And that's what he learned to do the Hardanger with, because, you know, you're doing such fine work. Like, if he just touched needle, it wouldn't just rust. But if he was doing so much of it, working with a single piece, it did rust. It got rusty.
Wow.
And And so, and I think that's it. Some people's body chemistry does cause that, or they have an allergic reaction to the metal itself. And then they need to move to something that's neutral.
Yeah.
And gold is, what is that called? I can't remember anymore. Where it doesn't, it's non-reactive. It's a non-reactive metal.
Yes. That. That's interesting. Because, you hear about people that, they go through needles quite rapidly. I just have not had that.
No, I lose them, but I don't go through them.
Great. The only thing that's great. That's a good thing to lose, Beth.
It's like the other day, I was like, I dropped a needle. Don't move, Max. I got to find it. But, or they're in projects, you know.
Visitation tip at Beth's house. Do not take your shoes off.
No, leave your shoes on. I normally find them because I do have the cat, so I do want to find them again. Occasionally, I lose them. For more than a day, but I do bend my needles.
Really?
You don't bend your needles.
No.
Don't bend your needles.
No. Well, I take that back. Now, on if I'm really having to work hard on needlepoint to bury a thread, I have been known to bend a needle, but as a rule, no, not at all. Wow.
So, like, I was looking, I have tulip needles, and I had them in my Milners, and I was using them for more than a rose. And I put the one I used back in the container to not lose it, to make sure it was with the other needles. And I was needed it again, so I pulled it out, and I was like, okay, which one did I use before? Well, it was pretty obvious. It was the one that had a slight bend in it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I tend to bend my needles. I don't, you know, not the big tapestry ones. That's, yeah. Those are a little harder to bend. But occasionally I will, or I'll break them. I will bend and break them.
You're a monster. It. Wow.
I'm mean to my needles.
Man, aggressive stitching. Now, I have bent size 28 needles. I have bent those. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, they're little pieces of wire. So,
right.
Wow.
Right. Right.
Oh, Beth.
No, all right, so let's talk about the tulip needles. What do you like about those?
They're just so smooth. They're just so smooth. So well made and so smooth. They just slide through the fabric.
So do you use them for tapestry?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tapestry ones.
Yeah. Peacemaker and tulip and probably if I were to sit down, I probably have them all mixed together. They're mixed together on different projects. So I've probably given, you know, just because to me, they're fairly interchangeable.
Right.
Not price wise, but otherwise.
No. And I like the tulips, but they don't feel any different than the John James for doing needlepoint. So I don't get those for the for needlepoint. But I do use them exclusively when I'm doing any sort of surface embroidery. I'll find them and I'll pull them out. They just go through the fabric so nicely, especially if I've got multiple layers that I'm trying to stitch through, or I'm doing a lot of decorative stitches that have knots in them,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more complicated. I find them so much nicer on the threads themselves and on the fabric. They're lovely needles, the tulip.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I mean, you pay for them, but they're really nice.
Right.
That's interesting that you like John James, because other than DMC brand needles, I really don't care for John James at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have any problems with them. Huh. Well, occasionally. Occasionally I might have one or two.
See, there you go.
But
no,
not,
I don't.
Not very often. Yeah.
You know, and I fantasized at some points where we're going to discover one day that all the needles are made in the same factory. You know, and it's all in our minds.
I don't think that's true. Because,
no.
I was teaching a class and I could not find needles. And I finally broke down and got some DMC needles at a big chain store. And they,
you might as well stitch with a file.
I'll tell you right now, I took them and finally my other needles came in. I was kind of like, okay, are these going to come in? Are they not? I can't wait. I'm going to get this. And people tried and they were shredding their threads. I was like, okay, let's just do a quick exchange. Let's, you know, these are not any good. And I said, these are the reason you don't buy these needles. It's not worth your money. I said, I was desperate though. I wanted to make sure you had these large eye needles.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it. It's just not worth it.
No, they're awful.
And they're frustrating. And it's frustrating to have the cheaper needles when you're, especially if you're teaching somebody a new stitch or something new that they have to concentrate on. And here their threads are all shredded up. It's like, okay, well, no.
Yep. Anyway. You know, and that's so interesting because the gold standard in cotton embroidery floss is DMC. I mean, that is the foundation of what we do. And how many people have they turned off on needlework because of their garbage needles?
Right. Yeah.
You know, people went to Joann's, bought some thread, and bought some needles. You just, you know, really, folks? Come on.
Right. And the only other needle I'll mention that maybe people don't know about, sometimes it's hard to get the tulip needles. Sue Sparg, if you're doing surface embroidery, anything that requires you to go through the fabric, Sue Spargo has a nice set of needles, but I wonder if they're made, because they're made in Japan. I'm pretty sure those are made in Japan. And if they're made at the same place Tulip is or
Oh.
someplace close. So, but there again are beautiful needles. I have not had any problems with them. They're a little pricier than, the other ones. But again, I told someone was saying, well, I need needles. Where should I go? I said, when Sue Spargo has these, just get the whole set. You'll have them for every thread, because she was using a lot of different types of thread. And she go, I said, this is beautiful. They're perfect for anything you're going to use. And you'll have the whole range, and you won't ever have to wonder again because you'll have what you need.
Yeah.
So it's it, but
Yeah,
again.
I'd be curious to know where she gets them. Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
Probably
Because
as
they're
a tulip private brand or something. Yeah.
right. But the again, Tulip also makes beading needles, which I've heard good things about. And
Yes.
I was gonna, have you used them?
No, I just know that they exist. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting ready to try those. I have a little bit of beading I want to do, and I thought, okay, I gotta try these. Because beading needles, I definitely bend. There's no doubt about
Well,
it.
that's kind of
And
hard
then,
not to, isn't it?
right, because they're like little
Yeah,
wires.
you're right.
But the other thing is, I really want them to be easy to thread. And that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
How easy are these to thread? Because beading needles are horrendous to thread.
Yeah, no,
Because
I have not used those. Well, I mean,
okay.
I can probably count on two hands the number of times I've done any beading.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've got to try those. Those are on my to try list.
Yeah. But
But yeah.
yeah, okay, we're in agreement on DMC needles. Don't buy them.
Don't get those.
Jeez.
Don't get those.
You know, and it's a kind of thing where people look at it, it's a needle. You know, why should I spend money on a needle? You know, good, why should I buy an expensive needle? Well, it's your primary tool.
Right.
I mean, that's like saying to an auto mechanic, why should I buy good pistons? Well, because, you know, they're kind of the primary thing. I mean, so it's worth it to spend money. And if you get good needles that aren't shredding your thread, aren't chewing up your ground cloth, and last, the cost over time is, you end up ahead of the game.
And I was asked when I was teaching last about needles, and I'm the next time I teach, I'm going to teach at the library here fairly soon. I'm going to mention needles, and I'm going to say, yeah, if you're just starting and this is a beginner thing, you don't have to invest a lot of money. And I'll mention some like John James or Clover makes a decent needle. They're all good needles. But if you do a lot of hand stitching and you're starting to get hand fatigue, Mary Corbett mentioned this, that the tulips made a difference in her hand, having problems with her hand issues. And I agree. If I am working on something where I am doing a lot of hand sewing on it, different, like not like the needle point, but where I'm really pushing and pulling through a piece of fabric, the tulip needles make a difference. And it's so much worthwhile. I mean, who wants to go and do hand therapy or have your hand in a cast or,
Yeah.
whatever, or lose your ability to do this craft? You're much better off paying a little extra for a few needles. It's a lot cheaper than a doctor's appointment.
Right.
And it makes the craft more enjoyable. It makes doing this so much more fun.
Yep.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's yeah. And I remember her talking about that, because they just slide through. You have to work so hard,
Right. Huge difference. Huge difference in stitching with them.
And yeah, if you're just doing it, an hour every couple of weeks or something, you probably, other than chewing up thread and ground cloth, probably doesn't matter. But yeah, when you start doing it all the time, and you have to, you got to watch that stuff. You really got to watch that body stuff, that ergonomics, right down to the needle you use, and cramping up your hand because you're having to push hard, and all those things. Because, yeah, over time, it'll build up. And, yeah, you start to lose the ability to stitch or lose the ability to stitch for a long period or are constantly in pain or, you know, in pain, even just a mild irritation all the time when you're stitching just kind of sucks the energy out of it. So,
right, right. And you really don't want to use something that you're not, it doesn't make the craft and this enjoyable. I shouldn't say craft, this hobby enjoyable, because it, nice needles do make a difference, you know. Yep. I found, but
oh, they do. I mean, it's the one thing. It's the one thing that's in your hand all the time. You know, make an investment. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me think about scissors then. So, what do you use for your everyday scissors?
We have the Dovo times three Dovos, and then I have the Primana Italian.
Oh, Premax.
Premax, thank you. I couldn't read it here.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you use the Cadillacs.
Yeah, I sit here and I think, okay, having one pair of these, okay, that's a nice luxury. But having four pair of $50 scissors, what is wrong with me? But there, well, they sit. I'll admit, there's right here. I'm not going to, you know, there they are.
Well, and I'm going to mention a pair of scissors, not as high end. They're called Kai, K-A-I. And they're my everyday. I think I have three pair around here somewhere. I used to pick them up at quilt shows. They would go for like $10. They're, but they are some of the sharpest scissors I've ever used. They are just really nice, and for such an inexpensive pair of scissors, they work well. They work well, and I have not had any complaints. I think I've got one pair that's finally starting to get dull, and I think it's the one I use constantly, and then I might need to replace. But you can get those on Amazon. I know you, if they have them in stock. I don't know if needlework stores carry them. I think quilting stores did, but I haven't ever seen them locally.
I've heard of them, and I may have heard of them because you pointed them out to me. Mm-hmm.
They're nice, a nice, inexpensive scissor. The ones that I keep eyeballing, though, are those Kohana, which are very popular right now with all the floss tubers. They look beautiful, and I'm curious about them because of they're made in Japan more than anything else. And knowing that the tulip needles are made in Japan, I think I'm wondering what the workmanship is on them and how close you can get to your fabric to snip close to the
Kohana.
Kohana.
Like Kohana?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
And they just look like they're beautiful scissors.
Yeah.
But they're at the price point that they're actually higher now than Dovo's. For a while they were less expensive, but now they've gone up in price. Supply and demand.
Of course they have. Yep. Yeah, the Dovos, I mean, they're just special little scissors.
Yes.
They're really nice because I bought an extra one when they were going out of business. I have no idea why I did, but I bought another one. But these Premax ones from Italy, Mary Corbett, it's the reason I own this pair is it's Mary Corbett's fault. She did a thing a long time ago on these, and they're marvelous scissor. What I like about them is that the finger holes are much more comfortable. Not, you know, like that's hardly a factor when you're snipping off one piece of thread. You know, it's not like seamstresses who are cutting all the time, but they're really nice. And now that you can't get Dovos anymore, the Premaxes.
And I have a pair of Premax, and I don't use them very much because I find them heavy in my hand.
No.
You're only picking him up and snipping one thread.
I know.
What's the big deal?
Tough it out, Beth. But, you can do it.
You gotta start eating more Wheaties. But I think it's because I'm used to these really lightweight Kai scissors. So, you know, when I pick those up, they have much more heft to them. You know, you start weighing scissors, but yeah, it's just one of those things. It's, I think it's a matter of personal preference, but yeah, those were nice. Those are nice scissors. They're nice and sharp.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Have you found somebody to sharpen your scissors? That's the other question that's come up.
Well, we had a guy. I'll have to dig it out now, because that's what I was trying to recall in my mind who that was. Matter of fact, let me just do a thing here, because there's a guy who sharpens scissors. And we had some connection with him a couple of years ago. And he is someone who is known to do a really good job. I assume he's still doing it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, if where can you get your scissors sharpened? Now, these Kai, I don't think I'd mess
here,
with
here them. It is right here. Look at me. The sharpening, okay. The sharpening doc.
Oh.
The sharpeningdoc.com. Harold Gable. The sharpeningdoc.com. sharpeningdoc.com. That's your guy. Sharpening and restoring needlepoint scissors, knives, cleavers, pinking shears, loppers, pruning shears, hatchets, axes. He does it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got a really good system and has a heck of a good reputation, but it's all spelled out on his website.
Nice.
And if you use him, mention Fiber Talk, folks, please.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've had a couple, three communications with him, and he, yeah, seems like a real nice guy, and everybody that has used him speaks highly of not just the quality of his work, but the turnaround. Like, it's not, you know, I'll get it back to you in a month. It says here, I sharpen them within 2 business days and ship them back to you.
Nice.
You package and send me your scissors with a completed order form and payment. I sharpen them within 2 business days, ship them back to you, and you're off and running. He's got an order form on his website, wrap scissors separately, securely with bubble wrap or paper, place in a box or padded envelope. You can use PayPal. His phone number's there, his email address, and sharpen only $5 USD. Sharpen and repair $13.
Wow. So, because here's the deal. You know, I have a pair of Dobos that I bought ages ago when I took a workshop in Hardanger. And I literally do not use them for anything else but when I'm cutting thread, because I don't want to mess them up.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, you know, what happens if I need these sharpened? Because they were my most expensive, I think they still are, my most expensive pair of scissors that I've ever bought. And I just don't want to ruin them. And I thought, well, what do you do? You know, because if you're using them for hard iron, you really need that blade to be super sharp.
Right.
So that's nice to know that there is still someone out there who will do a good job and sharpen those.
Yep. Well, that's your guy, the sharpeningdoc.com. Sharpeningdoc.com. Yep. Yeah, perfect. You should get those sharpened up, Beth. Yeah, you know, use them. That was the one thing.
Yeah.
I really wish I had jumped on it and bought the Dovo scissors for Hardanger. Should have bought a pair with a little longer blades, but I didn't.
That's what these are.
Yeah.
That's why I bought them.
Yeah.
And because I knew that if I wanted to do Hardanger, I needed better scissors than what I was using.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, one of those things. And I don't know if there's any, well, you said the Italian, the Premax. I wonder if they make Hardanger scissors.
I don't know. Probably do. Mm. We'll check it out. Because, yeah, I'd like to own a pair. Not that I'm lining up Hardanger projects left and right, but Sometimes that longer, narrower blade is useful otherwise. So,
Yeah.
I know Kathy Ray Needle in a Haystack still had some Dovo scissors. I don't know if she still does, but she'd be a place to check for.
Right.
Which I might just do that now that we talk about it.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're traveling, that's just something I think if you're going to a needlework shop, let's say you get to go to you're going to the Attic, or you're going to Silver, or you're going to even a small shop in a small town, they might have a set of Dovos.
Yeah.
That they, you know, they have old stock, you know, they haven't been able to sell. Maybe they don't have an online presence. So, no one knows. Yeah, they have a pair of Dovo in inventory. But it's worthwhile to stop and ask your shop.
Yep. Snatch them up. Yep.
Yep. Beautiful things.
And speaking of travel, I have two pair of those little $5 scissors that come with a little kind of rubbery cap over them.
Uh-huh.
And when I travel by plane, that's what goes with me. And if TSA wants to take them, you knock yourself out. It's $5. Yeah. They cut decently if you don't use them too much, and you know, have a good time with them. Yep.
Well, and the other thing, and this is people to keep their eyes open for, school supplies. When school supplies go on sale, I always buy a new pair of cheapy, blunt-ended, not too cheap, but inexpensive scissors. So that way, those are the ones I take when I travel in the car. Because, I mean, what's the worst going to happen? I lose that cheapy pair of scissors, and then it's easy to replace. I just go to a local store and pick up another pair. But, that's another thing to do.
Yeah, if you're going to travel at all with your needlework, never take your good scissors. And just like you're exactly right. Even if you're by car, you leave them behind somewhere and you just be sick about it. Take the cheap ones. They'll cut. And when they get dull, which they will fairly fast, you throw them away and get another one. But after all, we are Americans, you know. Buy it, pitch it, buy another one, you know. Then if you leave it on the table at a restaurant and you're 20 miles down the road, that's all right. Mm-hmm. I'll live. But keep the good ones at home. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And always, when you stand up to leave a place where you've been stitching, before you walk away, turn around and do one more scan. Make sure you got all your parts.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Especially your threads you only have so many pieces of that floss. Oh, no.
Yep. Yep. Just do a little pirouette there. Make sure that you picked up everything you brought. And
Right.
All it takes is one time, and you'll kick yourself forever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Absolutely. We're going to call it there, I think. So join us tonight for the Stitch Hour. Natalia Frank on Sunday, and the 500th show on the 29th. Don't miss that. We're going to have fun. I'm saying it's starting at 2:00. Now, Jennifer apparently has other plans. We may be at sunrise. I don't know, but we'll be live on YouTube at 2:00. Now, we may already be exhausted because Jennifer had us up, for breakfast.
Right. But, Right. Who knows? Who knows with Jennifer? Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. But anyway,
absolutely.
2:00 Eastern time on the 29th is the 500th show. That we know for sure. Yep. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.